Hello and welcome or welcome back to Fancy of Leather podcast. I am your host, Kirsty Taylor, and today we are talking with one of my friends, Marta. We recorded this episode live in Milan, which is where I am right now, so it's a really exciting one. Marta and I delve into a conversation about how we met. We speak about the differences between living in Milan and living in Scotland. We speak about growing up with like dual citizenship, and kind of how she connects with her Brazilian culture, and also delve into switching degrees and trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. So it's a really great episode. You're going to want to stay tuned. But for now, let's hop into our intro. Hello, hello, hello. How is everyone doing? This is a much brighter, more happy episode than last week. Last week, I was going through it, to be honest. Things are looking up. My transitional phase seems to be going in a positive direction. So that's really fun and really nice and really great. And I'm in Milan. So honestly, I can't complain. I love Italy. I love visiting friends that I don't see super often. And I love the weather has been really nice here. It's been a little bit more hot than I would like, but tomorrow's supposed to be a bit cooler, and the food incredible, and also just being on holiday and like not having to think about anything work related at all has been an absolute dream. I cannot complain. I've just really been enjoying relaxing. So I am going to shout out for my small wonder of the week, walking tours, which I'm really surprised I haven't made this a small wonder of the week before. I love a walking tour. I do them like almost every place I go. I just think it's a really fun way to learn stuff and also like meet people sometimes and get to know them and make new friends from different countries, and you all already have something in common because you're all like traveling. So yeah, I did a walking tour of Milan on Friday. I flew in on Thursday and Marta was working Friday during the day, so I decided that was the perfect day to do something myself, and it was really fun. It was very informative. I'm gonna link the exact one that I did in the show notes, so if you're ever in Milan you can check it out. I love the website I use, Guru Walk. They have the best ones around, so highly recommend. So that is my small wonder of the week. For this week's gem of the city, I am shouting out a cafe called August 21 in Edinburgh. My parents always crack on about August 21. I've heard so many things about it, and I've never actually been until recently. It's like walking distance from my flat. I went with my friend Sahara recently. So great. I loved it. They do the most incredible chai latte and also dirty chai latte. Highly recommend going there and having that because it was delicious. I also had, I don't remember what baked good I had, but I did have a baked good, and I remember it was really nice. It's also a really cute interior. So that is the gem of the city this week. So check it out if you're ever in Edinburgh or you're looking for a cafe. August 21, great place. And now we're going to hop into... Oh, no, we're not. We're going to hop into our Curian essential. So my Curian essential this week is my lap desk. I have been back on my like writing grind a little bit, which has been fun, and finding ways to like do that and be comfortable. And my brother got me this for Christmas and I just love it. I don't even use it like as a lap. I sometimes just put it on the floor and then I at least like can sit on the ground or lie on the ground and type or write or read or whatever, and I just think it's such a great addition to my life, and it's got a spot for like my cup of tea and everything. So I'm shouting that out. You can find them like anywhere, to be honest, and I suggest getting one if you don't have one. Absolute game changer. So now let's hop into our poem of the week. So this poem is by one of my favorite poets, Jackie Kay, very well-known Scottish poet, and this poem is called Threshold. I did find this poem on the Scottish Poetry Library, as per usual, my favorite website of all time, and the poem is obviously by Jackie Kay, and you can find it originally from wherever you want. But yeah, let's get into it. So it's called Threshold. Let's blether about doors, revolving doors and sliding doors, half opened, half closed, the door with your name on it, the heavy one, hard to open, the one you walked out when your heart was broken, the one you walked in as you came to your profession, and the tiny door when you made your confession, the school door at the end of a lesson, yes, shut the door, in Gaelic is Duna Doras, the wee door on your doll's house, or Isbin Nora's door, or Chekhov's three sisters. doors imagined by writers the world over, Proust and the chickens coming home to roost, or Chris Guthrie's open heart at the end of Sunset Song, or the step left when the house is gone, the hall. The door to the stable bolted after the horse left, not Tam O'Shanter, tailless horse, the one that shut suddenly behind you, banged by a violent wind, the painted red door code for asylum seeker, the X that says plague or Passover, the one turned into a boat to cross the ever-widening waters, the North Seas and the Aegean reminders of the people off their land, out their crofts, to whom the sea was their threshold, on, off. Take the big key and open the door to the living, breathing past the one you enliven in over and over, to the ship's port or the house of the welder, to the library door of Donald Dewar. Then picture yourself on the threshold, the exact moment when you might begin again. A new sitting, new keys jingle possibilities. Hope comes with a Greyfriars bobby key ring. Then come through the door to this parliament, new session. Pass round the revolving door, change in the revolutions. In 360 degrees, take in the mirrored opposites, the Dutch gables, the cross-step gables. Here, rising out of the sloping base of Arthur's Seat, straight into this city, a city that must also speak. For the banks and the braes, Monroe's, Cairns, Bothies, songs, arts, poems, art, stories. And don't forget the Cayleys, who Disney love the Cayley, a city that remembers the fiddlers of Shetland and Orkney, the folk of Colonsay, Bute and Tyree, the inner and outer Hebrides, the glens and the bens, the trees and the rivers and the burns and the lochs and the sea lochs and Nessie, the granite city in Dumfries and Galloway, the dear green place and Dundee, across the star and the galaxy, the night skies, tiny keys, the hail clan Jamfrey. Find here what you're looking for, democracy in its infancy, garter, like you would a small daughter, and keep the door wide open, not just ajar, and say in any language you please, welcome, welcome to the world's refugees, Scotland's changing faces, look at me, whose birth mother walked through the door of a mother and baby home here, and walk out of Elsie's Ingalls Hospital without me. My Macker, her daughter, Macker of Fairly, Lead, and Gallus Tongues. And this is my country, says the fisherwoman from Jura. Mine too, says the child from the Canna and Iona. Mine too, says the Bryan family, and mine, says the man from the Polish deli. And mine, said the brave and beautiful Asaid Shad. Me too, said the Black Scots and the Red Scots, said William Wallace and Mary Queen of Scots, said both the Roberts and Muriel Spark, said Emily Sandy and Arthur Wharton, said Ali Smith and Edwin Morgan, says Liz Lockhead, Norman and Sorley, and mine, said the Syrian refugee. Here we are in this building of pure poetry on this July morning in front of Her Majesty. Good day, ma'am. Ma'am, good day. Good morning, John and Helen Kay. Great believers in democracy and in gieing it laldy. Our strength is our difference. Dinny fear it, dinny cocani. One language is never enough. Welcome, wit me. It takes more than one language to tell a story. Welcome, one language is never enough. Un su lang ne gema sequenta. Welcome, falcha. It takes more than one tongue to tell a story. It takes mere noe tongue te crack. Welcome. Welcoming takes more than one language to tell a story. And if you want to read more of this poem, because it does go into lots of different languages, which I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce, because that would just be insulting everyone listening to this poem. But if you want to read all the different languages that happen until this next line, which I'm going to do in a minute, then you can go to Scottish Poetry Library and look up Threshold, but I'm going to skip all the other languages and go to the stanzas at the end, because I do understand those. It's ever so hard to tell a story, wee, one language, come in and have a cuppa. One language ain't nothing like enough, come in and have a cuppa. Takes mair than one typo patter to tell yarn, make yourself at home. One patter is near enough, make yourself at home. Welcome. Come on, Ben, living room, come join our brilliant gathering. So yeah, Threshold is by Jackie Kay. It was read at the opening of the fifth session of the Scottish Parliament in 2016 and is written by Jackie Kay. So you can find it on scottishpoetrylibrary.com if you want to read all the other languages that I'm sorry, but I'm not going to attempt to speak because I don't speak those languages. So before we hop into this week's episode, please do remember to follow / subscribe to the podcast, share the episode if you're enjoying listening, let people know that you're listening, let's create a community here. You can follow us on Instagram, it's at stories_stanzas. Our website is storiesandstanzas.com and our TikTok is just Stories and Stanzas. I'm going to try and post some stuff soon, maybe even some Milan content, so stay tuned. So yeah, thank you so much, and let's hop into this great chat with Marta. Okay, I'm just hopping in here for this week's charity of the week. This week I figured we'd share an animal charity, given that Lila, Marta's dog, makes a little cameo in this episode. Stay tuned for that. So we're shouting at the Scottish SPCA, which you can just find at scottishspsa.org. And obviously it's an animal charity and they're Scotland's only all animal rescue team. Their impact in 2022 was that they answered 250,000 calls in their free animal helpline. 86,078 inspectors and animal rescue officers responded to an average of over 235 reports of animals in need every single day, and 3,433 pets were rehabilitated and rehomed to loving families. If you want to help out with this charity, you can make a regular donation or a singular donation. You can also get advice on your animals, whether it's farm animals, wildlife animals, dogs or cats. You can get involved and become an animal champion, do volunteer work, maybe sign up for an event or sign up their newsletter to find out more about what is going on in the charity right now. So like I said, the charity is Scottish SPSA and it is just scottishspsa.org. Check it out. Hello, Marta, and welcome to Fancy Blather Podcast. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired, actually. I don't know why I'm tired. Yeah. We are recording this in Milan, which is very exciting. A little bit of change of scenery. Enjoying the warm weather. However, it is a little bit too warm for October. Do you not agree?
I agree. I was excited for autumn, but it looks like it's not gonna happen anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. Maybe in like November?
Hopefully. Yeah. It's like this till November then.
Yeah, that's a long time. Well, it's like halfway through October already.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize because I normally change my laptop wallpaper every month because it has like the calendar, and I just noticed that it's still September. And I was like, oh,
nice.
Need to get back on top of that. Every week we start off by asking our guests, what is your small wonder of the week? So can you share
small
what your small wonder
of the
is?
Week. Amazing. I honestly have a blank space right now. I don't know. My small wonder of the week.
Yeah, like what are you grateful for?
You here.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, that was the one thing after my blank space, the next message. Yeah. I thought about it a lot.
Nice. My small wonder when we get the food. We're doing a food tour of Milan. All of my pictures so far have been of food.
Yeah. I've been resharing your pictures and people are like, what are you doing? It's all food.
I just can't help it. I like to eat. That's like the best part of traveling is eating. Like, surely that's like the most cultural experience. I feel like we should start off this episode by speaking about how we met, and then we can just kind of delve into other topics.
Yeah.
So we met in Scotland. So I don't know if you want to like explain.
Yeah, I think
how you ended
I
up in Scotland.
Oh yeah, how I ended up in Scotland, I was going to do a master's degree mm-hmm. in Scotland, and I Googled a lot of options. Mm-hmm. I searched because I wanted to do something that had to do with film,
mm-hmm.
but also like not like strictly related to like screenwriting
yeah.
or like directing, things like that. So I found this degree in Aberdeen, which was like a mix of everything that I liked. So I decided to go there. I had never been to Scotland before. I had never heard of Aberdeen before. So it's like when I Googled it, I saw that it was like super, super in the north. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, exciting. I wonder. But it turned out to be a nice experience. And I think that Aberdeen is like a really good sized city for somebody mm-hmm. that is going to university, because it's not too big, but it's not small. Like yeah. you still find things to do in Aberdeen. Like it's not just university. But yeah, that's how I went to Aberdeen.
Well, we met during a fire alarm, right?
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think
it was. Yeah, because we lived in the same building.
Yeah.
And then it was like lockdown, so we couldn't really
like meet other people.
Yeah.
And then we lived in like our building was all like studio flats, so everyone lived by themselves.
Yeah.
And then there was a fire alarm, and then I think we just started talking
yeah.
outside, because we were outside for like a while. I feel like I feel like we had to wait for the fire engines or something to come.
Yeah.
Even though like it was false alarm, it always is. And then we ended up just like texting and doing stuff, because it was like when you could go out like a little bit, but only to like cafes
yeah,
and like socially
coffee.
Distanced. Yeah. So we did that a lot. And that's kind of how we started hanging out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Because I already knew like some people in the building
mm-hmm.
because I met them. I don't know. I don't remember how,
mm-hmm.
but probably either another fire alarm or like just going to the bins.
Yeah,
because that was the most exciting thing that you could do during
yeah.
lockdown.
Because I don't think I knew anyone in the building, because my course was like full time, so I was online a lot. And
stop it. Sorry, Marta's dog is with us. In case you hear like her drinking water earlier. So, no, I don't think I met anyone in the building until we met, because my course was, like, so, like, it was, like, 9 till 4 every day, and
yeah.
then I met a lot of people online, and, like, then a lot of them lived alone, so then we could do stuff, and then one of my best friends had, like, moved to the city at the same time as me, so we were in a bubble together, so I would, like, go to hers for dinner, yeah, and then she would go to, like, mine for dinner sometimes. So that's, like, so I didn't really know anyone. So it was nice to, like, meet someone in the building, because it was, like, you could hang out without having to, like, get dressed. Do you know what I mean? Like, we'd, like, be in our pajamas
yeah.
hanging out, which was nice. No, yeah, no, it is funny. Did you not find, so you were, obviously, you arrived, like, during lockdown. Did you ever go to campus? No.
When we met, like, during the
mm-hmm.
Then I went to campus when I went back for the second part
oh,
of the,
yeah,
the master.
Oh, yeah,
the
second part.
Yeah, but when I was there and we met, no.
No.
Like, I walked around it, but mm-hmm. I never actually went to campus. So, yeah, that was pretty weird.
Yeah.
Because, of course, like, I had booked everything, like, the accommodation
mm-hmm.
and the flights before they announced that there was going to be another lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, let's go anyway, like, I mean,
yeah, exactly.
let's go and see, like, if there's, and also, like, your lockdown was a bit different than ours,
mm-hmm.
so you could still go out and get coffee and talk to people either way, because
mm-hmm.
In Italy, you couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, so I feel like it was still a good choice to make,
mm-hmm.
and then the second part of the master, it was on campus, like,
mm-hmm.
still socially distanced, like,
mm-hmm.
you used to wear a mask, at least for the first
mm-hmm.
part of it. But then it was pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, yeah. And I think Aberdeen wasn't good in terms of, like, because Aberdeen is coastal. Like,
yeah.
You could, like, although it was cold all the time, because it's Aberdeen, you could, like, walk to the beach
from where we lived and stuff. So it was, like, there was a lot, like, it was, like, really nice
yeah,
area
yeah,
to
nice.
Live in.
Yeah.
Which was good, because otherwise I think I would have gone, like, insane in that building if we weren't allowed to leave, because the room was so small. Like, the flats
yeah.
that we lived in were shoeboxes.
Yeah, and also, like, the windows. Like, for me, like, a big
yes.
thing was the fact that we couldn't
open the window.
Like, it could open, but not fully. And I don't like it. Like, I like to open the windows, like, every day. And
yeah,
like, change
exactly.
the air and everything, but...
And I was on the ground floor, and I still couldn't
too,
open the window.
When
and
we
I was
met,
like,
yeah.
Oh, and I was
too.
Like, why?
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
jump high.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even if I wanted to kill myself, it would not be successful.
No, we are very ineffective from the ground floor.
At least, like, let us open the ground one. But, yeah.
you know, very silly. So when you first went to university, what did you study originally? Because you kind of changed paths,
yeah,
so kind of what was your journey with that?
Okay, so basically when I, before applying to university, I was so confused
because
I wanted to do like so many things, like so many different things. I thought, oh, maybe I could be a doctor, but then no. Then maybe I could work like in marketing or like do a translation. Like it was all over the place because we have like so many options and you never really know which one to take. So then I decided to go and study economics, but it wasn't just economics, it was banking and finance and all that, because I thought like I had never studied economics before or anything related to it, but I thought, oh, maybe then after I could do a master in like marketing and maybe work in like media or like the film industry, because it's something that I like and I would still like to do eventually. But I didn't realize that you also have to study before doing the master. So then when I started my course, I didn't like it. Like it was honestly, for me, I know that there are a lot of people who enjoy it. Like I met people, I have friends that graduated from that degree and they loved it. But for me, it was boring. So after a while, I just decided to change and I took some time to actually think about like doing something that I enjoy and then let's see what happens next. But I feel like when I chose my degree, I had the wrong approach because I was like, let's see if I can do something that then it's going to lead me to something that I believe that I want to do instead of just
like something I want
choosing something that I think that I would enjoy. So then when I chose my degree and I graduated from that, and which was like languages translation and all that, I actually enjoyed everything that I did. So yeah, it was better. Like it was nice to make the switch. At the time it was not super easy because of course like you start uni and everybody's like, oh, how's it going, and you never know if you want to truly like say like it's not going well, I'm thinking about leaving, or if you're continue and you're just like, yeah, no, it's great, and then no, it's not great.
Yeah. I know I think it's smart though to like do
a degree in something that you're interested in, because 4 years or even 3 years is such a long time to spend doing something that even if you have an end goal and you think I want to be in that career, if you are doing a degree and realize like I don't enjoy this, then you're probably not going to enjoy the job afterwards. Because so many people do that and they're like, but like once I become like in this job, then I'll like it. And then they start doing the job and they realize they don't like it. And I'm like, why did you wait that long? Like you might as well have changed. Because I think it's funny when I look back on like my, I obviously, like, I did a degree I really loved, and I never switched, but, like, the first time I applied for uni, I applied for such different courses, and then I didn't get in, and I applied again and applied for something totally different, and I look back on the courses I applied for originally, and I can't imagine myself doing either. Like, I applied for, like, fashion management, which, like, I get, like, I'm interested in that, but I cannot not imagine myself, like, in that world at all, like, or even just doing the degree in that, like, I can't picture that. I'm like, how did I ever expect that to happen?
The thing is that we have too many options.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if you already know, like, from the start, from when you're young, what you're going to do. So it's easy, kind of easy. But if you have no idea and you have so many options and maybe you're good at, like, two or three things, then you're going to be confused. And that's
Happened. And I also feel like it's, like, a lot of pressure because you're like, well, once I'm in this, like, what if I then, like, change my mind? But then it's like, you don't want to change and, like, everyone is talking about it, or you don't want to, like, waste your money, and it gets, like, really complicated.
Like, the money aspect, like, that was a factor because I was like, if I change, like, it's like I wasted this year. But at the same time, if I don't change and I graduate and then like and then I see that it's not something that I want to do, then I'm kind of stuck, and it would be like I would have to do another degree, so it would be even worse. So maybe it's like better to switch, but it wasn't an easy decision, especially like with my parents, because of course they were the ones paying for the degree.
So
they were not too happy about it, but eventually like it all worked out.
I feel like that's what's interesting about the American the college system because they like don't choose their major.
Yeah, that's I feel.
And
like
I think that's actually
nicer.
Quite
yeah.
smart because
yeah.
then you get like the opportunity to try. Well, I'm sure they must have to be in like a certain school or something. Like you can't just try everything. Like that's not
yeah.
possible. But like you will get the opportunity to try like different elements before you pick like what you want to focus on, whereas here you have to know what you're going to focus on before you even apply.
Yeah,
and you have to
also,
make your application apply to that.
Like in Italy, for example, like if you graduate from something, then if you want to do like a master degree,
mm-hmm.
you have to come from a faculty that had that specialization from
mm-hmm.
the start. It's not like I can, I don't know, like study geography and then do a master in communication.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the same. Yeah,
so
the same.
It's you can't like correct it later. You
yeah,
have to do it from
of,
the
like,
start.
Stuck
yeah.
In it. Yeah, it's like once you're in it, you're in it. What did you find were like the biggest cultural differences between, I mean, obviously the language is a big one, but between like living in Scotland versus living here, I feel like the accent must have been interesting when you first got. I feel like Aberdeen is quite a strong accent.
Yeah, but honestly, I thought it would be worse.
Okay.
Everyone said, "Oh, Scottish people, you're not gonna understand anything."
Yeah.
And I was like,
they were probably
I was
imagining
super
like
worried.
A Glaswegian
yeah.
accent.
Yeah, maybe I was super worried because I was like, "Okay, I'm traveling by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna know anyone because I'm not even going to campus. It's gonna be me."
Yeah,
and then
course.
What if I? Can't even
understand
what they're saying. But no, I thought that, of course, like, it's different from, like, the accent that you hear when you study English in school,
mm-hmm.
especially because it's very, like, the English that you study in school, it's very, like,
the Queen's English.
Yeah, and also, like, people speak slowly because you're not, like, hearing conversation. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's made for the English book.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it's different. But I thought that it would be so much harder to actually understand. But yeah, I feel like the biggest difference compared to maybe Milan, because I come from a city that is big, it was the fact that people were more like calm.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when you stop somebody and you ask for information, people were actually willing to talk to you and
yeah.
explain.
Okay.
But in Milan, it's like you're bothering them because they have to go somewhere else. So you're taking their time and wasting those 5 seconds. So
yeah.
So that was like one thing that was really, really nice. I thought everybody was really kind, which is not something that, I mean, it's not that people in Milan are not kind, but it's that people are always in a rush.
Yeah.
So maybe you want to stop, you want to help. But at the same time, you know that if you're going to be late, then there are going to be like repercussions. So you're like, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm going. But for example, like the first day that I got to Aberdeen, I had no idea where I was going because it was also dark. It was super dark and I couldn't see not even like the stops, like the bus. That's one another thing that's different. The bus didn't do all the stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like if nobody like claims that
stop,
they don't stop. But in Italy, you always stop.
Oh,
so okay. I had like everything like written down, so I knew okay, they have to go here.
Oh,
and
so
then,
you're claiming the stops,
yeah.
and then they don't stop at all the
then
stops.
They didn't stop, and I was like, where are we? So I asked the driver, and he was like, oh, don't worry, when it's your time, I'm gonna tell you. And I was like, okay. Relax. Yeah, so that was really nice, and I don't think that it would happen in Italy, but at the same time, we do have all the stops, so that's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, you can count them.
Yeah, and also they on the bus, they tell you, like, this is your this is the stop, like, with the name and everything, but in Aberdeen, nobody was talking, so I couldn't hear. I was like, when is this bus gonna stop? But yeah, that was nice. Yeah.
What about the food? And obviously, Italy is so known
for its food.
Yeah.
Obviously, Scotland food is very different.
Was there anything you tried that you were like, oh, this is actually kind of nice, like a Scottish food that you were like, oh, like this is like surprisingly enjoyable, or things that you were like, why do people eat this?
No, I thought that the sweets are really good. Yeah.
Nice.
I don't like the ones that we had here.
Oh, okay.
That was interesting, the fact that I kept buying things that are actually sweet, because in Italy I never do. So, yeah, anything like the biscuits, they're really nice, the one with the butter and everything,
mm-hmm.
really, really strong discounts that I kept buying.
Nice.
And also the roast is nice. Mm-hmm. Like the Sunday roast.
Or oh, roast. Yeah.
Yeah, that one is nice. I
love the Sunday roast.
And then I just stuck to international.
Yeah, like the international aisle. Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I get that. Did you find any elements of it kind of weird in terms of, like, being there in a lockdown? Like, what was kind of the hardest part about being there during, or what was kind of the biggest difference? Because obviously you went back when we were, like, less of a lockdown. Like, what were the biggest differences between those two experiences?
I feel like the hardest part was the first 10 days because we had to isolate.
Oh, of course.
So I was stuck in a very, very tiny studio and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even go out.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really hard at the beginning. I was like, what am I doing? Like, really, I traveled all the way.
Just to be alone.
Yeah, just to be alone. And I can't even open the window. I can't even go out.
And there's, like, not a very nice view.
No,
at all.
I couldn't see anything. Like, no, my only friend was the seagull.
Oh, me too. I love the seagull, George.
Yeah, he would come every day with his friend. Then at one time, I started coming with a friend. So that was really nice. But, I mean, I was questioning my life choices.
Like, but most people were.
Yeah, but after that, I feel like it was such a nicer lockdown than the one that we had here. So, it wasn't like the best time ever, of course, but I feel like it could have been way worse. Like, I was prepared for worse because I came from Italy and we couldn't even walk with our friends. Like, when it was locked down, it was just stay home. Like, even if we had to go, like, to the grocery store, we had to have, like, a certificate that was saying that you were going there because you had to, I don't know, like,
prove
buy.
It?
Yeah, of course, like, nobody really stopped you.
Yeah.
But just in case, you had to have it. And you couldn't really go out with your friends, even for a coffee or whatever. So that was different. And it was better in the UK because at least, like, even if it was cold, and the weather was not the best ever. Yeah, at least, like, you could go out, have your coffee, walk, talk to people face to face.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
Do you think you would live abroad again?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where would you want to live?
She answered for me. Lila said, no, we're not moving. No, I don't know exactly. Like, I don't have, like, when I was younger, I used to have, like, a lot of ideas
of, like places you wanted to live.
Yeah, I wanted to go to the U.S.
No, thank you.
It was too
very
much
fair.
Like a Gossip Girl in the OC.
Yeah,
but yeah, not the U.S. But I think that I would like to go to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And live there for a while, but I'm pretty scared of the hot weather.
Yeah.
Because that's a bit much. That's a bit much. But I would like to experience life there because I'm half Brazilian. So I would like to see, like, explore that side of my culture. But also maybe Denmark. It's a nice option. It's a closer option.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Yeah, it would be easier to move to Denmark than to Brazil, not because of, like, visa issues, because I wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
Because I have dual citizenship.
Yeah.
But just, like, the whole process of moving, it's different. Like, if you're...
Yeah, it's a lot more work.
Yeah, it's a lot more work. And also, like, I have this amazing dog that keeps barking and I would have to take her with me and... A flight is...
Yeah, no, I don't think she can do that.
Nope. So, yeah, there's a lot of ideas, but I don't know. I just know that I want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to experience a bit more before...
Yeah, like the world before you, like, settle somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. What was it like growing up being half Brazilian? Were you, like, quite in touch with, like, your... Brazilian culture? Was that, like, a big part of, like, your childhood? Like, was that... Because it's your mom's side, right?
Yeah.
Was that a big thing, like, growing up, or...?
It depends. Like, she didn't talk to me in Portuguese. She would talk in Italian. And, of course, only when she would get mad, she would talk in Portuguese, just because it's easier. Like, when you're mad at somebody, you don't think in another language.
Yeah, of course, you think in your own language.
Yeah, so, yeah, she wouldn't really talk in Portuguese, But yeah, she would throw parties like Brazilian style that are bigger compared to the ones that they do in Italy. Like birthdays are a huge thing in Brazil. It's like the most important day of the year. So she would throw like really big parties and also sometimes make like the food that they eat there. But I wouldn't, like, I wasn't so in touch with the culture like I am today. Like today I'm much more connected because when I started like growing up, then I started to learn the language myself, and of course I always understood when they spoke. But yes, speaking yourself is a different thing. Like you have to think about everything, like verbs, conjugations, everything. But I learned it later on. And I also started watching like Brazilian programs, like to connect more with the culture, because everything that you see like on TV, you see the representation of the country. So that was really useful. But yeah, now I'd like to go and experience life there.
Well, yeah, because I think that would also give you like a further connection, right? With the culture. Like, I feel like
living there would be like another way for you to feel like connected to like where your mom is from, and like where obviously like that's half of your like identity. So it's like something that is interesting. Yeah, but I think we're going to wrap up here. But before we do, we always ask, what is your Korean essential? Which sounds hilarious given that it's hot outside, but like something that makes you like feel cozy. Like what is like your cozy essential?
Tea.
What kind of tea?
Yeah, I brought it back from Aberdeen. No, just kidding. But yeah, I love having tea. Usually with
just
ginger.
Like normal tea? Oh, ginger tea.
Ginger and lemon.
Yeah, nice.
It's really nice. I love it. Or wine. Good Italian. Like there's
love
no,
wine.
Like
we love
like
wine.
A good Italian, like a glass of red wine. It's amazing. You drink it, you watch TV, amazing.
Yeah, that is the way to do it.
That's the life.
You watch like a 2000s film.
Yeah.
A little bit of Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
It's life.
That's the life. Yeah,
it is
especially
the life.
If it's cold. Amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Marta. Can you like shut yourself out? Let the listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah.
In case they want to follow along.
They can find me at my amazing Instagram page that it's private. But yeah, if you want to know more, it's at Mark Calder.
Yeah, and I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Maybe just message and be like, oh, I came from the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
And then she'll accept you.
Because it's private, so sorry. the influencer life is not for me.
No, not for me either. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to follow / subscribe so you never miss an episode. New episode will be out next Sunday on the 22nd, and it will probably be a Stories of Scotland episode, so stay tuned for that one. They're always fun to record. And don't forget to follow us on social media at stories_stanzas on Instagram, just Stories and Stanzas on TikTok, and our website is storiesandstanzas.com. Have a good week, and you'll hear from me next week. Thank you. Bye.